As we are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, which is today, I'm sure you all know that, we are reminded as to how to correctly count the days to determine which day we are in fact commanded to keep. And yet again, there is a lot of confusion out there as how to count. And this goes for other observances as well. We know of Passover, which is also kept on a wrong day by the Jews, for example. The pagan observance of Easter, which is certainly not biblical, but the world associates it with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, claiming that he died on a Friday and then was resurrected on a Sunday. And if you count the days, it clearly does not add up to 3 days and three nights, as the Bible indicates that's how long he was in the grave. Yes, the world is confused as they struggle with simple addition. And they struggle with the living God's way of life and his commandments. Now, as we have heard this morning in the first message, as we have also seen and read and heard about in the latest update, and quoting from the update, the wave sheaf was offered on the Sunday during the days of unleavened bread. The wave sheaf pictures Jesus Christ, who ascended to heaven on a Sunday, even though he was resurrected on a Saturday evening, just around sunset. Exactly 50 days later, he poured out the Holy Spirit from God the Father on his New Testament church, and this was the day of Pentecost, which is today. So simple. You know, why is that so difficult to understand? And yet there is so much confusion out there. And yet we may ask that several times for many things which are so clear to us, or so it seems. We, however, are blessed to receive the knowledge as we can correctly observe his days as he commands us how to keep them and when to keep them. We count the days correctly, as the Bible states. And God counts on us to abide by it. Now, when it comes to counting, God is an excellent mathematician. He is the smartest, most perfect mathematician you can think of. And his capabilities are endless. So much so, the human mind cannot comprehend when it comes to his counting abilities. So I have some examples, some scriptures, which you may want to write down. Luke 12:7, and also a parallel scripture, Matthew 10:30, where it states that God knows how many hairs are on our head. Now, for some of us, that is, I won't even go into that, but that is a lot of hair on your head for those who have a head full of hair. But he would answer that question just like that. He would know right away. Another example, Psalm 147:4-5. He knows the number of stars that are in the heavens. And we can't even see all the stars. Even with the greatest telescope, even when you look at the galaxies filled with billions of stars, he knows exactly how many there are. Psalm 139:17-18. God's thoughts, what he thinks about when it comes to us, for example, outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. I don't know if you've ever tried to count a handful of sand. If you have, well, then you have a lot of time in your hand, because that is a lot of sand, just a handful of sand. And it's a lot of patience to count all that. But think of a whole seashore, and those are the thoughts that he thinks about us. It doesn't even compare to what we think about. Psalm 56:8. He also knows the number of tears that we have shed. And we may have shed a lot of tears throughout our lifetime, and we still do. But God not only counts them, but he stores them in a bottle. And he remembers when we've been in trials, when we've been sad, when we've been happy. It doesn't matter what the tears are. But going off of that, God knows what we go through, and He blesses us when we follow Him. So when we look at our lives, do we really stop and think and realize what God has in fact done for us? How He has in fact blessed us? You know, that's a very simple question, and yet a very difficult to answer at times. Or do we take what we have for granted? Now that could happen many times. You know, it is very difficult at times to look at those around us who are rich, who have many possessions, who appear happy, who say that they have been blessed by God for all their accomplishments and whatnot, and that their prayers have been answered. And yet these are people that are not in a church, and these are could be athletes, could be musicians, could be just wealthy, inherited people. You know, we may even feel envious towards them. But see, we may look at the physical things, the materialistic, the temporary, but we fail to realize the importance behind it. So we stop and we think about all the blessings we have endured. As simple and as basic as they may be, for example, our families. We actually stop and think about how blessed we are that we have the families. Our spouse, our children, those who have children, our parents, our friends, our true friends, that is, a roof over our heads, clothes, transportation, no matter what it is, a bike, car, any way to transport, food, water, electricity, ways to communicate, thanks to technology, phones and computers, cameras, broadcasting, you name it. These are just a few things that we may take for granted, that we don't even think about, because we already expect it. However, God can take this away just like that. But He chooses not to, as He has promised to take care of us and give us what we need. But we will still think that we want more, right? Well, we always dream about, you know, things that we want. And I was sad to hear that someone had just hit the jackpot for the $600 million lottery. Because it's not going to go to $1 billion. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, if you play, whatever, and then you think about all the things you would do with that money. And it's funny, a lot of these people that were interviewed, a lot of them said the same thing. Oh, I would give a lot of that away. Oh, I'd give that to charity. Of course, it's easy to say that when you don't have it, but once you do have it, mindset changes. So, I don't know how true that really would be. However, we may still have that question to think that we want more. That does not mean, though, that God will not grant us that wish. You know, we make plans, as it says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, which I have alluded to many times, that God will direct us. And He will give us the desires of our heart, and He will make our plans succeed. That's taken from Psalm chapter 20 and verse 4. We all have a plan, and if it's according to God's will, He will direct us. But you have to start off with a plan. But really what this comes down to is perspective and the motive and the intentions. You know, if we think we want to be rich, if we think you want all these things for us for selfish desires, that's probably not going to happen. But if our intentions and our motives are good, and who knows, if this is in accordance to God's plan, it very well might happen. You just don't know that yet, though. Will we do good with what we receive is another question. So if we do get everything that we've wanted and have desires for, are we going to do good with them? That's always something we have to ask ourselves. But this could also be a testing of our faith and also of our diligence. Do we truly believe that God will grant us our wishes and desires? That's another thing you have to ask ourselves. Do we actually have the faith that God can make that possible? Are we, in fact, diligent in keeping His law? We can't expect all these things if we don't keep His law. Looking to Him for help. It's a question. Do we actually, in fact, look to Him for help with whatever situation that we may be faced with? If we struggle in that, do we even look to God for help? Chances are God will not grant us what we want. Simple as that, and that's how He states it in the Bible. Okay, so we have our basic needs that God has blessed us with. Keeping in mind that there are many that don't even have that. Think of the third world countries out there. They don't have a lot of the things that we have today. But there's also something more important. There are many, many more, in fact, the vast majority of the world that are not blessed with what God has blessed us with. What may that be, you may ask? Well, and we've heard a lot of this from the message yesterday on the laying on of hands and what this all requires and what comes with it. We have a special protection from God. You know, we have the actual belief that God will provide at any time during the most crucial situations by the laying on of hands when we ask for it. We have a miraculous healing capabilities from God if He chooses to use them. But we're not going to be healed if we don't go to God. That's first and foremost is the most important thing. See, all these things that we are blessed with, by what we know, is quite obvious. And who are we? Who are we right now? Who are we today? What we have heard in this morning's message. We are the first fruits. We may not be able or more physically blessed, let's say, but we are certainly more spiritually blessed. We have been handpicked by God the Father to have the chance to be in His kingdom and to receive everlasting life. We have more knowledge than the world when it comes to spiritual matters and what the Bible has to say because our minds have been opened. Because God has called us. If you can please turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There is a step that we need to accomplish if we want to continue on to live God's way of life and to be counted worthy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 3 to 6. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. The love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. And then also skipping to verse 11, something that we have to continuously do for ourselves, for each other. Verse 11, therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. If you want to make it to the kingdom, this is how we are to be counted worthy to make it. This is just one scripture that I've read. Now, putting this all into perspective, we can see how truly blessed we are for an incredible chance to be in His family. You know, even though right now at this moment it is tough to comprehend it, as we are surrounded by distractions and the physicalities of this world, But when that time comes, physical possessions will not be in the forefront of our minds, but rather making sure that we will be counted worthy to make it, to be protected, and most importantly, to live. I'm not talking about just temporarily, to live forever. That time has not come yet, but in the meantime, we will keep going with our daily lives as we're working and we're planning and we're learning and we're watching and we're teaching and being joyful, living a life pleasing to God, thinking about how we have been blessed with our basic needs and perhaps much, much more, but also having the wisdom and the knowledge about His plan before anybody else in this world. And that is truly a blessing. With that said, we will now share a portion of our gratitude with God for what He has done for us by giving to Him in thanks an offering as commanded, as it is a holy day. This is another requirement that God expects of us. And if we do so with a good attitude, He will continue to bless us.